Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, Don Davenport with you. Our guy in Vegas, Todd Furman, joins us now live from Las Vegas. Hey, Todd, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. How's everybody in Nashville this afternoon?
We are good. Is there any way that the Raiders can play at like UNLV next year? What's going on there?
I mean, they can, but it would not exactly be an NFL-ready venue. I mean, this old Silver Bowl, Sam Boyd Stadium, call it what you want. It's probably decrepit by Mountain West standards, so it might actually be perfect for Raiders fans if Oakland decided to move the team down here and actually start playing in Vegas a year earlier than anticipated.
Yeah, Ian Rappaport mentioned Reno as a potential deal. Is that possible?
I think it's just a comedy of errors at this point. I really believe that Mackey Stadium up there in Reno might be more suitable for NFL football, but I have to think that there's somewhere else that they could play, even if they had a time period, let's say 6 months to do some renovations there that would ultimately bolster facility for UNLV. I just don't think it would be consistent with an NFL experience, but as this relationship gets more and more toxic in the Bay Area, they're going to have to figure out a scenario, and clearly Raiders fans up there, they're not going to do necessarily what it needs to keep that team around for an extra season.
Las Vegas in the news a lot today. You get the NFL draft in 2020, and another thing Rappaport told us, they're going to openly look for casino sponsorship.
Well, I think the casino sponsorship was just a matter of time. We know that a lot of the other big leagues have already partnered up with the MGM. Trying to figure out what exactly those deals mean remains anybody's best guess. When you talk about trying to improve the in-stadium experience, some sort of gambling component, whether it's in-play wagering or something along those lines, I think would go a long way to lure people off of their couches and away from their HD TVs into some of these colder weather venues for these meaningless football games as you get into December. The draft is going to be very interesting as well, because all the casinos continuing to grow the profile for that as a wagering event. So I'm going to be interested to see if the league's going to allow the different casinos to hang unique prop bets, talk about them throughout the telecast. But what I can tell you is there are plenty of venues and a slew of hotel rooms for a lot of folks to come out and take part in those festivities. We'll see if we can hold the torch to what you guys do in Nashville in 2019.
Talking about wagering, Todd, Darren Rovell, did you see this information? New Jersey had the biggest month yet, $331 million in bets in November. Total handle in the first 5.5 months, $928.1 million. Are there other states who are sitting up right now and starting to formulate how to include sports betting in their revenue streams?
I think everyone is trying to cultivate a plan, whether it's with existing operators, it's an online platform or something along those lines, to try and take advantage of the revenue potential that's there. And when you look at the tri-state area, New Jersey, of course, kind of has a monopoly right now. Once New York comes on board, that area, with just given the population density, is going to dwarf some of the numbers that Nevada has done, essentially having a monopoly on it for, you know what, the last 40 or 50 years. Delaware, of course, not really going to be able to compete along with some of the other states, the West Virginias of the world, or even Mississippi that doesn't have an online platform. But it's just a question of when, not if, other states are going to see this. They're going to go, this can drive tourism dollars. We can create events around it. And who do we want to ultimately control it? It's just a matter of hours as well until we see one of the bigger operators, Sugar House, actually open up one of their primary casinos in Pittsburgh to start taking sports bets at River Casino within a stone's throw from Heinz Field.
Todd, let's talk some NFL stuff. The Titans have played their way into needing to win their remaining games, and they need other people to do stuff, like lose games. One of the teams they need to lose is Miami. They're at Minnesota at the Vikings. The Vikings have just been the strangest team. I thought they'd be a Super Bowl contender and have been anything but so far.
Yeah, I think this is a game that will actually work out in the Titans' favor. Minnesota has been night and day different, home and road. They feasted on below-average teams. Now, the Vikings, record-wise, wouldn't fall into that classification. But when you look at the way Minnesota defensively can get after the quarterback, they can kind of stymie the run. And this is kind of the defense that Kirk Cousins will be able to have a little more success than what we've seen in the past 2 weeks on the road against Seattle and New England, where that offense is really ground to a halt. You have to worry, though, a little bit about the Vikings and what's going on internally with John DeFilippo being let go with 3 games to go in the regular season. This happened years ago, 2012 in Baltimore. Cam Cameron was let go, and the Ravens got their act together with an improbable Super Bowl run. I don't think the Vikings are capable of doing that, but I do think they're capable of winning and covering this weekend against the Fins.
Baltimore and Pittsburgh, also teams that are sort of fighting it out for a division title as well as the 6th wild card spot. Tampa Bay at Baltimore.
Yeah, Tampa showed a little bit of fight, although they cratered in the second half, much of the chagrin of those bettors that thought they were going to have an easy cover taking the Bucs plus 10 once you have a 14-3 lead. This is a Tampa team who I don't think is going to pose a lot of threat to a Baltimore defense that would like to get bounce back after surrendering a season high in yards against Kansas City. Interesting news there, of course, John Harbaugh naming Lamar Jackson a starting quarterback while openly endorsing the fact that Joe Flacco is healthy. So I think we're going to see more of the ground and pound. Baltimore wins this football game and helps the Titans cause as well.
Well, in New England at Pittsburgh, these teams usually match up, and it's usually a really good game.
Yeah, and Tom Brady, if you look at quarterbacks since the merger in 1970 with a minimum 10-game sample size, there's not a quarterback in the NFL that has a better passer rating against one opponent than what Tom Brady has done against the Steelers. 11-2 during that span, 30 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Of course, the big questions for the Steelers, how healthy will Big Ben be? Will they have the services of James Conner? This offense kind of falls off a cliff without a running game. Without Conner in the mix, they're averaging less than 7 points per game less than when they have their full complement of weapons. Everybody and their brother will be on New England looking for them to bounce back. I actually like this game under the total a little bit. Not sure I want to tangle laying points at Heinz Field with the Pats.
Real quick, going back to that Baltimore situation, is there a difference in number based on quarterback Lamar Jackson or Joe Flacco?
At this point, no, not really, but I think when you get into the games and the increased magnitude of them, you're going to have handicappers that try and assess the inexperience of Lamar Jackson and how they want to try and factor that in. This weekend against Tampa, another inferior opponent the Ravens are going to face as far as defensive capacity, but going on the road in a short week, Saturday night next week against the Chargers, changes that dynamic a little bit. So I'll be very curious to see if Baltimore can continue to stay committed to this ground game. If it wasn't for a defensive collapse on a 4th-and-9 and an improbable play from Patrick Mahomes, we're talking about one of the hottest teams in the NFL having gone on the road with Lamar Jackson into Arrowhead and winning outright at a 7-point pup.
Indianapolis 3-point favorite over Dallas. That's another impactful game for the Titans fans.
Yeah, lay it or don't play it type scenario. I think the Cowboys, the beneficiary of Carson Wentz most likely getting shut down for the season. Dallas only needs to win one of the remaining 3 games to seal up that division. I don't think the Giants or Redskins pose threats there. Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys go as he goes. 20-plus carries this season in those games. Cowboys are 6-0. I know he wants to try and ultimately secure the rushing title, but if you're Jason Garrett and company, you might want to lighten his workload a little bit. I think the Colts, the play here, look to lay the points with Indy at home against the Cowboys.
All right, Titans at the Giants. What do you think?
Tough game for me to try and handicap. Numbers suggest the Giants are the side as a 3-point favorite. Big Blue playing much better of late than what we saw early in the season. Of course, you'll have to monitor the status of Odell Beckham Jr. The offense loses a little bit of luster without him in the fold. The Titans' Achilles heel has been stopping the ground game, and Saquon Barkley is clicking on all cylinders right now. If I could figure out the Titans' offense, I'd be a lot smarter man and probably would have made some money in the process. I actually lean towards the under in this game at 44, but the side really feels like a coin flip with the Titans, a 3-point road underdog.
Odell did not play last weekend, and a lot of people thought he would not play this weekend. He was a limited participant in practice today. Does it affect the line if he plays or not?
If Odell is officially upgraded, you could see this move to a flat 3, maybe even tick up to 3.5. You started to see some Giants money leak into the market earlier today, maybe amid some of those practice reports. He just gives them that vertical threat that the Sterling Shepherds, Evan Ingrams of the world can't provide, and it would be another thing the Titans defense would have to worry about, meaning they couldn't commit 8 guys to the box, which made them so successful against the Jaguars running game last Thursday night.
Hey, on the way out, what's the latest odds on where Bryce Harper might go?
Honestly, Mickey, no books have really hung prices there. If you're trying to set them, though, I think the Dodgers, Cubs, And you may have to even throw the Mets in there. They've been really quiet with everything that's gone on there. But as teams start to move themselves out of the running, whether it's re-signing with the Nats or the Yankees kind of eliminating them from contention, you'd have to think, at least in principle, Scott Boras is just waiting for that ink to dry on a contract that they haven't made public. As a Yankee fan, though, I'd have much rather had Bryce Harper in pinstripes than the Yanks going after the cancer known as Manny Machado.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, brother.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Bet the Board podcast at Todd Furman on Twitter. You can get the information. That podcast is awesome, by the way. So check him out.